You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, 216-578-0850. That's the way to call us later on in the show. But now we're going to give you a little Ohio Business Machines hotline action when we pipe in the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill.
I thought we took a step last week defensively. I thought the guys did a good job executing in some critical situations. Third down defense was good. I thought we did a good job in the red zone. Obviously, guys made plays. We had three interceptions. We had some big PBUs throughout the course of that game. It's a performance that by no means are we satisfied with. We know we can play better. We know we need to play better. But it's something as a defense that we want to build on as a group and hopefully gain some momentum here going into this Sunday and then in the next few weeks. Questions?
In terms of giving up a lot of run yards again to a lesser back, so to speak, last week, and now going into a real high draft pick who's on a roll, what does the focal point become in terms of having a chance to shut down your other?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a good job running the football. Their offensive coordinators, very creative with the different run schemes that they're doing. They get the ball into a lot of guys' hands. It's not just Gurley. He is a dynamic back, and he's electrified that offense since he's been back. But, you know, they got a stable. Mason, Cunningham, they use Tavon Austin in roles as a running back. So it's going to be a challenge for our guys. We got to play with great eye discipline. We got to do a great job attacking the line of scrimmage. We got to do a great job tackling. They got guys that are very good players in space. So it's going to be a challenge. We've talked about it all week. We got to show up Sunday with the right mentality, and we got to execute.
What makes a round one back like that and that kind of talent different? Just a little more elusive when he makes that first.
Yeah, he's big. He's big. He's strong. He breaks tackles. I mean, he's a good football player. Very good football player.
Mike said the other day, like, run defenses want to and attitude. That's the starting point. And if you don't have it this week, you could get embarrassed. Have you noticed that lacking at all this year?
Well, I think that anytime in any part of this game, if you don't bring an attitude and a want to, you can get embarrassed. You can get embarrassed as a player. You can get embarrassed as a coach. You got to bring it every Sunday. And usually you got to have a great week and you got to build momentum to get to Sunday. We talk to our guys about building that fire throughout the week. You got to get yourself ready to roll and ready to explode come Sunday when we kick off.
So, has that been an issue? Have you noticed it being an issue in any of the previous games?
I wouldn't say it's been an issue. I think that we need to be consistent with it for four quarters.
Respect to improving overall on defense over the course of the game, but when it's time to win the game, and Manning led the last touchdown drive. Remember what maybe you might have been in a position to do on defense to stop that last drive? If it was close at some point, what were some things happening on that drive that could be fixed?
They completed a couple balls on us underneath. They had the one run where they captured the edge. It was second 9. I took a shot and ran a pressure. And they just out-executed us on the last drive. So, I thought that the defense – did a really good job in two-minute situations that game. I think we had three two-minute stops against arguably the best two-minute quarterback in the NFL or in the history of the NFL. And then, we started overtime with a three and out and a turnover. We needed to close it out. We just needed one more drive. We needed to get off the field, and we did not.
Playing as a unit and chemistry factoring into some of the issues that you're trying to correct here?
It has a role, but we're not going to make excuses. When that's what chemistry is. When you have a group of guys that are out there used to playing with each other, they're all on the same page when it comes to communication and they can look at each other. They know what the other one's thinking. That helps. When a guy goes down and you got a backup in there, it doesn't go that smooth. We've had some communication issues that have hurt us, but that's our job as a coaching staff to get those guys ready to go. I think the coaches have done a great job with with some of the backup guys that have gone in there and played. But, yeah, you'd love to – there's nobody that wants Joe Hayden and Deshaun Gibson and Craig Robertson and those guys out there more than me. So, but it's not the case.
When you guys drafted Dan Shelton, there was a lot of talk that he was going to be a three-down player.
Yep.
And obviously he's mostly playing in your base defense. And he only got 25 snaps last week, which was a season low for him. And he talked yesterday about not feeling like he's making the impact he wants to make. Can you talk about, you know, why is he not playing in other than the base defense, what he needs to do, and just his whole situation?
Well, he's played in more than just base defense. He's been a part of our sub packages. We roll those guys. You know, we were fortunate enough to have six guys up this past week. So, you know, we rolled them to try to keep them fresh throughout the game. I don't get too caught up in the rep stuff. I mean, I know there's high expectations of Danny because he's a first-round pick. He's doing a good job. I like the fact that he expects more from himself. We obviously are set the bar pretty high for him. We were talking about Paul Kruger last week, and then he ended up with 60 reps just because of the packages we ended up in. So it's I'm not trying to avoid your question. I just I'm not worried about – Yeah.
Coming from college, he played, you know, most of the game, and for him to play, you know, 25 snaps, it almost seems like it's kind of going in a different.
No, that's not the case. No, we're very happy with Danny. Danny did have a couple injuries that were bothering him in that game that he was fighting through. So Danny's fine. He's fine.
When you're with it, Jeff, you have kind of an intimidating defense, don't you think? And why is what is missing from this being an intimidating defense?
I think that as the season got rolling last year, we got to the point where we had a pretty intimidating defense.
Now we were almost halfway through this season.
Yeah.
So what is missing from this team?
Well, I think we played pretty good defense last week, and I think it's something we're going to build on.
You know, obviously the sack number isn't huge, but overall, are you getting to the quarterback as much as you need to?
Yeah, I mean, it's something you'd always like. You always want to hit the quarterback and get more sacks. Last week we were talking about the lack of interceptions. We got three. You know, everybody – sacks come in bunches. You know, we're close. You know, guys are winning on pass rush. The ball's getting out. I mean, that's why – you know, Peyton did a great job last week getting the ball out. And we brought some pressures where we had free runners. We had some one-on-one pass rushes where guys won. He got rid of the ball. You know, he's a damn good quarterback. He got it out. So that stuff will come. But, yeah, do I want our guys to win more? And do I want more free runners and more quarterback hits? Absolutely. So, but I'm not panicked about that. I think Murph told me we're at the same spot right now than we were last year at sacks. So, and I think we ended the year pretty good. So,
how's Orchard doing in his one-on-one battles?
Good. He's getting better every week. I thought that this past week was one of his better pass rush games. We're going to give him more opportunities this week.
On the pick six, the play after Danby's pick six.
Yes.
The touchdown right down the right sideline. Mm-hmm. What do you think would be learned there? Is it a simple matter of Williams knows that he shouldn't let the guy behind him, and that's that?
You know, no, I think, you know, Tremont probably got four or five deep balls thrown on him. He won on all of them except one. I think that there were a lot of things we could have done better on that play. It's just not on Tremont. You know, that even with the catch, that should be a 30-yard gain. You know, I can make a better call. There's other guys that can do a better job affecting the quarterback. We can get the guy on the ground. So, I mean, that's not just on Tremont. We put him out there on an island that game. We needed to. I think Tremont did a hell of a job.
I mean,
he's having a very good season. Some of the stuff we've asked him to do, play inside in the slot when Kwan was hurt and play outside, I mean, that's a lot harder than it sounds to do because your mentality changes. You're getting different kind of routes. Guys, instead of having a two-way go on you, now have a three-way go. You're playing against totally different players. He's done an unbelievable job for us this year. I don't know where we'd be right now without Tremont.
Roles or slumps, the calling plays, because obviously you guys have to make a call first. And how has it been different for you in the second year of making those calls?
I don't know if you get in slumps. I think that, you know, as the game goes on, your call sheet restricts a little bit, just because, you know, if there's calls that are working for you, or as you're communicating with the players on the sideline, you know, they're saying, hey, coach, you know, we feel really good about cover six or smoke, or hey, we can lock these guys down, we can play man coverage. So you want to get a beat for how the players are feeling with it. Or obviously, if your guys are winning up front, you might not have to pressure as much. If they're not winning, you want to pressure some more. So you kind of go in with this big plan, and you never know exactly what the offense is going to go. And then as the game goes, it kind of the game plan shrinks a little bit to what you're executing at a high level with. And then, you know, I would just think that the biggest difference between this year and last year, just for me, is I feel like the operation's quicker between getting personnel, what's the down and distance, okay, what package do we want to be in, what's the call, getting that information to Carlos making the call to the defense, and then we're off and running. You know, I feel like our operation's a second or 2 seconds quicker, which is a lot, because that second or 2 seconds allows the guys to get the call, see the offense, and now gather pre-snap information, which can help them make a play.
Jim, how is Craig Robertson playing before he got injured, and what's he at if he's out there for
him? Well, I mean, Craig's kind of – he's a spark plug of our defense. He was playing really well at the inside backer position. He was obviously rolling in there with Kirko, and he was a big part of our base package. I know he's going to do some individual work today, which will be great to see him out there. He stayed very engaged in the meetings. Coach Driesbach has him do some linebacker projects for those guys to help him get ready, you know, running back releases, tight end studies, all kind of stuff. But he definitely brings a spark when he's out there running around with our guys.
Is Justin getting any closer to getting on the field at all on defense, or is this just a time for him to focus on special teams?
No, yeah, I mean, he's got a chance to compete every week. Pierre has done a pretty good job establishing himself as our third outside corner, but that doesn't mean that that's set in stone. I mean, Justin right now out in practice has looked as good as he's been since he's been a part of this organization. So he's definitely going in the right direction.
Hey, first of all, Murphy asked for a raise now that you gave him a public shout-out. Secondly, could you talk about what Joe Hayden, with his – you guys give him so much responsibility,
yeah,
and ask a lot of him when he's playing. Without him, what ripple effect is there in terms of coverage and that kind of thing?
I mean, Joe's obviously one of the best corners in the NFL. So when you lose somebody who's that good of a player, there's going to be a ripple effect. Now, you can't spend too much time worrying about it, because you got to figure out, okay, with this guy's down, this is what we got to do to adapt. And you change some to try to build the scheme around the 11 guys that you're going to be playing with. You know, Joe allows you to do some things that you might not be able to do with other guys. You know, Joe can lock down a half of the field, or you can put him on the best wide receiver and not have to worry about helping him, you know, at certain points of the game. So there's a ripple effect, but, you know, the best coaches and the best coordinators in this league, they adapt, they adjust, and they push forward.
Does it mean less man coverage, or you still go with what you want to do?
You got to mix it a little bit more. We're always going to play some man, just because that's how we're structured. That's the way we recruit on the outside at that position group. That's why all those guys are here, because they can play man. But you might have to do some things to give a guy covering the X, or give a guy that's usually in Joe's position a little bit more help.
That's defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill of the Cleveland Browns, pleased with what he saw against Denver. And yes, there were some good things, the 3 turnovers, 4 of 18 on third down, but there's still concerning issues in the run defense. And the fact is, they gave up about 450 total yards of offense in that game, things that need to be cleaned up if they want to have any chance this Sunday against the St. Louis Rams. We're going to get right into our defensive matchups position by position, and then we'll come back with John DeFilippo at 2. We'll have the offensive position by positions, and then Howard Balzer at 2:30. Let's start defensive line. I mean, there is no bigger slam dunk in the National Football League than to say – the defensive line of the St. Louis Rams. Robert Quinn, Chris Long on the ends. You've got Aaron Donald playing arguably the best football of any interior defensive lineman in the NFL. And Michael Brockers. Nick Fairley backs them up. They've got another Eugene Sims, William Hayes as backups at the end. This defensive line is loaded. It's the best in the NFL.
We'll give it to the Rams. Let's just give it to the Rams and move on.
We will give it to the Rams. Linebacker, they've got James Laurinaitis inside. They've got Akeem Ayers at the right linebacker. And then at the left linebacker position, they had Alec Ogletree. He is hurt. He had been a very good player for this team. He's hurt. So now they're kind of using Mark Barron, the former safety, early top 10 draft pick. He's getting some run there as well. They've got Bryce Hager getting some run. They've got Darren Bates as well. This is a different defense, though. So what you're looking for out of these linebackers in a 4-3 is different than what you're looking for, certainly in your outside linebackers, in a 3-4. The Browns, we know their linebacking core right now. Carlos Dansby, two interceptions last week. Mingo with an interception. I'd probably call this one a wash.
I'd call this a push, and I'd give the Cleveland Browns a slight edge simply coming off of Carlos Dansby's two interception and Barkevious Mingo's pick as well. So three picks last week all came out of the linebacker room. So I'll give the Browns an edge based on their most recent performance.
And with, if you were looking at it from the standpoint of if Alec Ogletree was there, it's probably advantage St. Louis.
I think
he's the best linebacker on either team, but he is done for the year. The defensive backfield, their corners are Janoris Jenkins, already has four passes defensed and two interceptions on the season in five games, and Tremaine Johnson, who's playing well, six passes defensed, two interceptions on the season. Their nickel, LaMarcus Joyner, has had a nice year as well. He's got a couple sacks, blitz, you got to watch him, two sacks already blitzing out of the nickel position. And then their safeties are Rodney McLeod and TJ McDonald. McLeod and McDonald, more tacklers. McDonald more of a box safety. He's got a sack and 29 tackles on the season. McLeod, 27 tackles. Neither one of them great in coverage, but solid safety is, again, good on the back end.
I'm going to go, because there's question marks, most likely with Joe Hayden still in concussion protocol, going to miss this football game, and Tashawn Gibson, iffy. And I know, you know, reading Coach Pettine's comments that he's probably 50-50 on playing or not. As of right now, if Gip is out and Hayden's still out, I'm going to give this a slight edge to the St. Louis Rams.
Janoris Jenkins is a very underrated cover corner in the National Football League, and Tremaine Johnson right now is playing as well as really any corner in the league other than kind of, you know, the big-name guys that you know. But he's having quietly a very solid season for this team in terms of quarterback rating allowed against. Tremaine Johnson and Janoris Jenkins, both top 15 in the NFL. They're doing a good job there. I think that I'm going to give still the edge to the Browns. That's where the edge has to be for the Browns if they want to win this game on the back end of the defense. So I'll give a slight edge there. But listen, these two corners are playing excellent football right now for the St. Louis Rams, and the Browns are going to have to find a way to overcome that and get the job done this Sunday. Special teams-wise, they've got Johnny Hecker and Greg Zuerlein. Their kick returner, Tavon Austin. I think the return game is about a wash. They have an explosive returner. They have an explosive returner. I like our punter better.
And we have Mr. Perfect.
And we've got Mr. Perfect. So I'm going to give an edge
advantage
to us
Browns
on special teams a little bit. But Johnny Hecker, by the way, having a very solid season, 46.3 yards per kick. He's been good, but he's not Andy Lee, 49.3.
No, sir.
And then, of course, the kicker, there's only one Mr. Perfect, TFC, Travis Coons. He's the guy. We're happy that we have him on our team. Although Greg the Leg Zuerlein, he has been pretty sick. He's been good this year as well. But he's missed three from 50-plus. That's usually what he is good at, Greg the Leg. But he has struggled at that range this season. So, again, slight advantage to special teams for the Browns. Defensively, overall, advantage to the Rams. Certainly clear advantage up front. We call it a push in the middle. Slight advantage to the Browns on the back end, but it's the margin of victory on the defensive line and what that means for controlling the entire game. They can rush four every time they want to and drop seven in coverage. That's what makes them so effective. When you can just rush four, all of a sudden it's a numbers game that's not in your favor when you're trying to throw the football.
Absolutely. It definitely is. You can drop seven all the time, and that's probably also why when they bring the nickel, why he's so successful, because you surprise someone when you actually bring a blitz. That allows your linebackers to line up at 6 yards, have a little bit more depth, to create a little bit more cushion for you on Barnage, on Hawkins, on Gabriel in those slot situations.
The only corner who has been more successful, you talked about this, as a pass rusher this year, Then LaMarcus Joyner is Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger in Arizona. And this guy, Joyner, already has 5 total pressures on the season, 2 sacks, 3 hurries, and he's only rushed the quarterback 16 times.
When he comes, he's efficient.
He is very effective. So that is something you've got to keep an eye on there when you're thinking of scheme and you're in those situations. When you see that nickel, if he shows a little bit of a creep, 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 you better make sure he is accounted for, yes, or he will get to Josh McCown.
Slap that hip.
Slap that hip, ladies and gentlemen. All right, 216-578-0850. Coming up when we return, though, the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, John DeFilippo.